Well, our passage today, and I'm not going to read it first, is 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And this morning, I'm going to be preaching to give attention to the specific area in the Christian life and one that happens, what happens when it is neglected. And that's a problem we have with many areas in our Christian life. We neglect certain things and we choose over for others. And then we sometimes think well of ourselves because we've done so well here, but we've not noticed what's happened there. I first preached on this subject, again, the problem of envy, because of the whole theme of the preaching at the Synod of 2014. And I remember it well. It was geared toward humble shepherding, something that is often hard to do. And it wasn't geared toward the pastor alone, but would apply to the people as well. Parts of these messages, as I've considered them over the time, reminded me that sometimes in the pastorate, we must speak against others within the pastoring community. That is, those who are more concerned with building a large ministry, sometimes building a large building for the wrong reasons. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with desiring to have a ministry grow. We desire to see all the pews here filled. And we prayed in many different churches I've been part of where we would pray, God, if you want to extend this, make it so. Please, we would love it. But is it for the right reason? And then we struggle with this. Sometimes we speak against these ministries for the wrong reason. We speak against them because we're envious. We see them. We're right in what we're saying, but our hearts are wrong. If you see somebody as part of what I call the faith healing ministries, the name it and claim it groups, good to speak against that. It's a false doctrine. But am I speaking against it for the right motives? Am I speaking against it because it dishonors God and His glory? Or am I speaking against it because I'm envious that they have so much, that they have so much recognition? So there's a balance in dealing with this problem of envy in our life, and it goes so many different ways. And so what we want to do is figure out how we can do to speak against the bad doctrine while still maintaining an honest sense of humbleness. And that's what we as pastors must do, but it's also what we as Christians must do at times. What you must do in dealing with people and situations and even ministries in your own life, people might come to you and they might say, well, what do you think about this guy? Well, you don't want to lie. You don't want to say he's a wonderful man if he's not a wonderful man. But neither do you want to tell the truth if you're telling it with a bad motive in your own heart. We must examine these things. We are called to be a unique, a special people, different than the rest of the world. And sometimes we feel like, well, I deserve to be able to be. No, you don't. You know what you deserve. I'm not going to tell you, but you all know what you deserve. But God gives us so much more. So how much more should we be putting into our Christian walk? And so we see at the same time as those who are called to be ministers as people, we as pastors, and again, you as a congregation, must examine your motives and make sure that envy has not crept in. And we're going to look extensively at this today. And when it creeps in, it distorts your outlook. It distorts your outlook on God and on His work, on His goodness, and on those around you. And so even though these messages, as I say, were geared toward the pastor specifically, they are not for the minister exclusively. One of the things I was thinking about this week, I'll tell you why, because I went to get new boots. And I'm real particular about shoes and stuff because I have weird feet. And I had a slightly ingrown toenail when I was trying on the new boots and wearing them for the first day. And if any of you have ever had an ingrown toenail, you know how that feels. It wasn't horrible, but by the end of the day, it was really feeling, and I was able to run down to the pharmacy and get some of those cutters and get in there without too much pain and get this wee little thing. I mean, it's this big. This wee little thing. And I looked at it again and I thought, how so these little things in our life can cause us so much pain and distress? I was already planning on going to the doctor if I had to have them give me a shot of Novocaine and deal with it. But God was rich in his mercy. But to see that, and I thought about this sin like an ingrown toenail, and I thought about that like that rudder that steers a ship in James, or the tongue that causes such a great fire and so much problem in one's life. The little things. And so I was looking at this. We say, oh, envy. Everybody envies or is jealous of somebody at some point. This may be true. Doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean that it's a little sin. And I'll touch on that a little bit later. I'd given a lot of thought on this subject. Again, I preached this years ago. I may have preached it here once years ago, but I thought, this is a subject that needs to be brought up again and again. It's kind of like preaching messages on tithing. You do it sparingly, but you do it regularly because people need to hear the same thing again because we forget, as I brought up over the last couple weeks. And I was thinking about some of the things that might hinder all of you in your desire to be humble Christians in your service to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought that for this morning, I'd like to concentrate the better part of the message on the sin of envy, which we will be getting to. Don't worry, we're getting there. And how you might all be able to better understand the dangers of this sin. And I'm going to keep calling it a sin, not just a problem. It is a problem, but it is a sin. And those that lead up to it, there are sins, other sins in our life that lead up to it. And to see how you might be able to better handle all of them in each of your own lives. But before I get to the envy, which is, again, as I said, a great sin and can be a great problem for many Christians. In fact, I would say it's sometime almost all Christians. Let me speak briefly of humility and selfish ambition in these other verses below. Proverbs 22, verse 4 says, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Now, it doesn't say what kind of riches. We're to guess, at least for the most part, the honor will come through those who know you and those who have been a part of your life, and sometimes even outside of that, and life itself. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, when you were younger, likewise, you who are younger, be subjected to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It is good to be able to cling to that. It's a promise. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you strive for humility in your life? You should. If you don't, you should. It's one of the things that should be an ongoing work in your life, because pride creeps in at the worst times. When you start feeling like you're humble, you see pride has already crept in a little bit. But be humble. Be humble. Philippians 1:15 reads this, speaking of this. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. So on the one hand, you have humility. On the other hand, you have this selfish ambition that's part of coming out of envy and rivalry. Not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my punishment. Those who preached Christ out of a selfish ambition, thinking to afflict Paul in his imprisonment. Another one, speaking of this selfish ambition that we must all guard ourselves against, because the first word is the key word there, selfish. And we all tend, by our sinful natures, to be selfish at times. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And again, the context of this is not don't ever think about yourself. Obviously, we must. We should care. But what does it say? It has this wonderful contrast. There's the selfish ambition, and then there's humility. And it says, count others more significant than yourself. Think of others. Do we do this? And this, again, speaks against the sin of envy. The last one I'll read on this part, and I'm going to be reading a number of different passages today. So James 3:13, where it says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Show your good works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, notice a little something added to that jealousy, bitter jealousy, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Those are hard words. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Again, the word that I want to give attention there to in that last verse was jealousy. Because envy and jealousy are like twins almost. They're very similar in how they affect us in our life. The word reveals to us here that each one of you who call yourself a Christian and that are a follower of Jesus are to seek with true humble hearts the things of God and with selfless motives. When we do good only so we can get good, we're doing good for all the wrong reasons. If we're doing good only so God will think highly of us, we've missed the mark as well. We do good because God has called us to, because it is right. To do those things that are good with right motives in our heart, without being selfish in these things. It teaches you that in doing so, you will always be living in a manner that leads you always away from pride and envy, simply because you are then not always putting your own interest above that of others, just as we have just read also in Philippians 2:3. But moving past the humility and selfish ambition aspects, the main passage I put here for you is from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm just going to read from 4 down to 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, the contrast between the love that God calls us to and the things in our own heart at times. It also speaks of this envy in the Proverbs, in the wisdom literature. Proverbs 14:30 said, "A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot." Very, very descriptive. To the core, to the deepness of the bones. As deep inside you as you can get is the picture. This is where envy can cause rottenness in your life. Now I know some of you may say, I'm never envious of anybody, and we'll get to that because I'll show you it's probably at some point in your life. Maybe there are some, maybe a few in here that have really worked past envying others. But the reality, it still affects a lot of people. It's important for each one of you to see this particular sin, along with the other two presented here earlier today with the selfish ambition. To see this and how it affects not just the heart or mind of the man, but seems to make the whole body sick. I remember as a young man, I used to be a jealous man. And when I would get jealous, my whole being was distorted. And I think this is true of envy in the greatest sense. When we envy, when we feel, we get physically sick. It may not just show itself in the greatest sense, but it's there. There's a physical sickness taking place. It seems to make the whole body sick, as in the case of the sins of people who are not walking according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in many different areas of their life. If you're doing what is sinful, it will affect you in many different ways. This sin of envy is closely related to the 10th commandment. And in my own opinion, almost identical to the lack of concern for the other person or the persons involved in that sin, taking us back to selfish ambition. What's it say in Exodus 20:17? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and let me add, or husband, nor his manservant, or his maidservant, nor his ox, or his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. I love how it starts out kind of at one place, at the house, and that's more than just a house. That's the whole package of the family and everything, the household. And works its way down to the littler things. But saying all of these are important, you shouldn't covet any of them. In Deuteronomy 5:21, it's almost exactly the same. Only I like it here because it said thy neighbor's wife and then the house. I've always thought that kind of weird. Well, what's more important, my house or my wife? But again, when you look at it, the household, it's a little bit different. Same type of thing. He says it because it's important, or anything that is your neighbor's. How many times do you see somebody riding down the highway? I did it today. I saw somebody riding down one of those beautiful new Porsche SUVs, and I thought, ooh, that's nice. Now, it's okay to go, ooh, that's nice. You got to stop yourself there, though. You don't want to go, I should have one of those. If you should have one of those, you would have one of those. God would have made provision, and you'd be driving the Porsche right next to them. Again, this goes back to contentment. That's another sermon. Being content. Because if we are content, we can say that, and you can actually say, that's nice. That's a beautiful home. But you should be able to say to people, that's a beautiful home, delighting that God has given them that home, especially if they are Christians. And we struggle with this at times. We all struggle with this in some way at times. But I was just giving you an example from just this morning, and I thought about this real quick. Are you going to envy that person now? Are you going to wish that I had that one? Or as I used to say, one just like it? I don't want that one, Lord. I want one exactly like it. What am I saying? I want what they have, not what you've given me. But we are to make our lives more God-honoring. We are to be imitating our Lord Jesus while each one of you has the blessing of still living in this earth. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And so we need to be working on these things. It's not like we get saved and it's good, I'm going to heaven. We are to be growing. We are to becoming more and more sanctified. We are to becoming, each one of us, more like Jesus. Sad to say, there's a lot of churches out there that sing songs that speak just to that thing, becoming more like Jesus. And yet, in many cases, I see they're not becoming more like Jesus. They're becoming more like the world. And that's a sad reality for much of the church today, even some of the Reformed churches. Yes, Reformed churches are full of sinners too. We forget that sometimes, but we have to be reminded. We need to remind ourselves on a regular basis. If you took the scale, again, here's the other church, here's us, here's Jesus way up here. We're to be growing. We're to becoming more and more Christ-like. When we do, we are helping and showing others outside of the kingdom and inside the kingdom, those who are not as mature Christians, not only the eternal blessings of being a Christian, but also those that are temporal. Those of being a blessing in other people's lives. Don't you like it when you know in your heart that you've done something or you said something that has affected somebody in a really encouraging way, that you were a blessing? That's where we should kind of live a lot of our time. How many lives of two Christians have been made all but unbearable at times because of these sins of pride, selfish ambition, and particularly envy? Because it's like a daily thing. It's like riding down the highway and all the billboards are always there. They're always saying, you need this, you need that, you want this, oh, look at that. And we start feeling like, I don't have enough. But what does God tell us? We are to be content with clothing and food. And we often add the word a place to live or housing. We're to be content with that. That's God's goodness right there. Now, I want to direct this just a little bit. Now, I'm going to use the word. I only have a few children here today. But to the children. Children, have you ever had a time when one of your brothers or sisters or a friend had a birthday party, or even at Christmas time, might get a present, and you find in your own heart that you are not happy for them at all? You're not sharing in that blessing with them. But you're instead, you think, you should have gotten that present, not them. I should have gotten that. And the rest of you, you adults, how does that play out in your lives as well? We're not much different than the children. We grow out of some of our childish ways, but the things deep in our heart, when they say that, how does this play out in your lives, even to today? We always have a great need to learn how to truly rejoice in the wonderful blessing that God has given to others. And I found in my own life, I'll be honest, that I've been envious of people that I love, that I care the most about, and I'm envious because God has blessed them. Now, again, catch yourself. You don't want to stay there. You want to catch yourself real quick and say, that's wrong. That's wrong. And rejoice in what God is doing today. Do you find yourself sometimes acting like the children of the world? Question we should ask ourselves on a regular basis. Are you one of those people that find yourselves not delighting? Key word, not delighting in the blessing of others, as they speak to you of God's provision and His blessing with great enthusiasm and all the wonderful things that God has been doing. And you say, praise God. Do you really mean praise God? Are you really that happy for them that you should be? It's hard for us. We are sinful. And yet we need to work at it. And sometimes we wonder, well, why that blessing or that thing may have come into their life when you so much feel that you need it. Again, the false idea of need that really isn't there. What does God tell us in His Word? He will provide for all of our needs. So God has promised to provide for all of our needs, then we should live and act and even think accordingly. As soon as that particular sin of jealousy or envy or selfish ambition come into your lives, what should you be immediately saying? Wait, I'm not believing God's promise. I have this day. You have this morning everything you need. Everything you need. And some of the things we need aren't pleasing to us. Sometimes God allows us to bear a sickness or a struggle in our life that we're not real happy with. But the reality is we need it. There are times where we deal with other hardships in our life and we go, God, why did you do this? Answer your own question, because you need it. Because what we usually forget to say when we're thinking, why did you do this? We leave out, to me. We're not even thinking oftentimes of the other people who are going through the hardship. We're saying, to me, because that's how we are. Do you sometimes, or have you ever, somehow felt that God has passed you over? That He has not given you all that you need. And only shows His great benefits to others. And you sometimes question, well, doesn't He love me? How come I don't have that? I've talked to so many young Christians who have struggled because they weren't able to buy a house, or they weren't able to get this or that. And some of it comes down to not just God's blessing, but you following God's direction. God has given us wisdom in how to conduct our lives and how we should do things. And when we do it, it often brings about a consequence. Usually if we're doing what God tells us, it will bring about a good consequence, or most of the time. But again, sometimes God allows things to enter your life that are not pleasing to you. At that time, are you envious of other people whose lives seem, and I'm using that word, seem to be trouble-free? Because there is no such life. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, you've got trouble in your life at some points. You'd live in a sinful world. I think I said that already. Different way. Maybe you've forgotten the depths of your own sin. And this is a struggle we have. We start thinking, I am worthy. You're not. The only thing you're worthy of is eternal damnation outside of the work of Christ. That's what you're worthy of. We forget the depths of our own sin. We forget because we don't want to think about it. And we feel deserving. We feel just a little better treatment than I'm getting. That's just a little envy. Just a little better. I don't need a lot. If we can only come to that place of saying, you have provided for me this day, thank you, Lord. At the beginning of the day and at the end of the day. You have provided for me today, thank you, Lord. And trusting that he's giving you that which you need. Sometimes we feel like God should be treating us better, and yet we forget the payment that our Savior had to make on our behalf so that he could even look on us with the love that he has. In his teaching to his student Paul, Paul warns Timothy that this is one of the things to beware of in the false teachers. This is envy. It says in 1 Timothy 6:3, if anyone teaches you a different doctrine than what Paul has been teaching and Christ taught, and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understanding nothing. Now I'd like that understanding nothing. This is the false teachers. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions. Do you see how often these sins are tied together? There's like a whole string. It's not like there's just one sin. There's a string of them together. And constant friction among people who are depraved of mind and deprived of the truth. Imagining that godliness is a gain, means of gain. Again, we prayed for the martyrs today. Those who love Christ and love him with a love that some of us just, I don't know how I'd react in their situation. Are they getting what they need? Absolutely. Do they sometimes think, well, actually, I've talked to people who've been to these countries and they're not all wishing to live in America. They're praying for America and they're not envious of us because they see that all the things that people in this country crave are the very things that have led so many in this country to walk away from God and not run toward him. Paul also gives this warning to Titus in Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy. See, it's tied there with a difference in malice, which is very close sometimes. Hated by others and hating one another. Wow. He's speaking to Titus within the church. It's hard to think that people have hatred within the church for one another, but they do. It's hard to think that people in the church aren't thrilled with the blessings that everybody else is getting. But sometimes they're not. It's hard for any of us to really think, well, people are envious of me. But sometimes they are. That's the world we live in. But he says here, he continues this on. That was just verse 3. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. He calls them against, or Titus against these certain things, and then throws in this beautiful promise, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for the people. Again, with every warning God gives us, he gives us direction. He gives us promises. And he gives us hope. Again, once more, the Apostle Peter had this to say to the church in dealing with this. 1 Peter 2:1, it says, so put away malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Do you notice each time I read something with envy that there's three or four other different sins associated? How they all blend in and make this stew of evil in our lives, in our hearts. Like newborn infants, this should be us, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have been tasted that the Lord is good. What a beautiful passage that is. And then finally in Galatians 5:19 it says, and you know this, you've all heard this numerous times, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Now there's the big list. That's the big list, tying them all in together. And things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a scary warning. Now again, we realize that our salvation is not based on our perfect obedience, but that of Christ. But what it's teaching us, there are those who practice these things, that it's a regular part of their life, that they're not taking before God in repentance. Because yes, you can sin, you can repent, and you might sin the same sin again. And you can repent. And God will forgive you because God has given you that heart of repentance because he loves you. But then he goes on, after saying all these horrible things, he brings out, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let me read through that one more time. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You notice it started way up there with all the bad stuff, went down to all the good stuff that I thought it better to read slow. Sometimes we read through that. I read through it way too quickly, and it's like, whoa. List them, look at them, think of them, feel blessed in them. But there's a warning here, provoking one another and envying one another. Brothers and sisters, do not envy each other. When God pours out his blessing upon one, truly rejoice for them. They need it. They needed that blessing. Just as you need the ones that God gives you right at the right time. And you go, thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. I lost something this week. It wasn't something of great importance. Some of you may have seen it. I have this old cane that I need sometimes to walk with, because I'm getting old myself, like the cane. It belonged to my favorite uncle, Donald. I made it for him years ago. And then when he died, it became mine. And I lost it. And I wasn't sure where I lost it. And at first it was the end of the world. This is the end of the world. How could I lose the cane that I love so much? And finally I came, settled myself down and said, well, God, if you want me to have the cane, you ought to work it out, bring back to my mind all the places that I... It took me 3 days to figure out and go to all the places where I'd been. And actually, the place where it was, I was actually, after I'd been to my last place, I said, well, I need to walk over to the Walmart grocery here. And I walked in, and just on a whim, I said, let me walk over there and ask them if they found a cane. And the lady says, is it striped? And they had a red and white striped one with a thing. I said, no, that's not it, although that would be a nice cane. And I said, but that's not it. I said, it was an old, ugly looking, like a root cane. And this lady walked back in this back room, rummaged around for a minute and came out, and she says, is this it? And my eyes lit up. Now, what was fun is a lot of the people that were standing in line waiting for stuff that they were complaining about, their eyes lit up because they were able to rejoice with me because I explained, I said, that cane belonged to my favorite uncle and I felt so lost without it. God provides what we need. Would I have been content to live the rest of my life without my cane? Absolutely. And sometimes God gives us more than what we need. He gives us what we want as well. So I just wanted to throw in that little story because it was a wonderful event for the week. And it reminded me, again, that things will happen that aren't pleasing to me sometimes. My wife told me, you better put a rope or a thing around it. You can put it on your wrist so you don't lose it because you're getting old and you forget everything. She may not have said it quite that way, but I know what she meant. And God is good, though. He is sweet to us because he loves us so much. So anyway, I want to leave you with this thought today. Jesus has died on the cross to pay for your sins, but also set for us the perfect example through his own perfect life as to what sorts of men and women and boys and girls you should each be becoming. When you find yourself in a situation where you are beginning to become envious of something that God is doing in the lives of others, you must not allow yourself to think that this envy is just some little sin. It is not a little sin at all. As it prevents you from being able to rejoice with the blessings that God is pouring out into the lives of others and even in yourself. If you're so worried about this thing that you don't have, sometimes you miss all the good things that you do have. And look at this in the lives of those in Scripture. Look at Cain, the first man born on earth because of envy and jealousy. Because God accepted Abel's blessing, but not his. He became the first murderer. Think about that again. The first man alive, the first murderer on earth. Joseph's brothers, they were envious of him. Again, jealous. And were willing to do the worst because of that. King Saul with David. Yeah, lots of people blessing Saul, but more David. And what did that do to that relationship? Pretty much did away with it. It weaves itself, this sin, into many aspects of our lives. And it can stop us from being able to love others as we have been called to. In the manner that we're called to. And in following the example of our Lord. And how we should be delighting in these things. You must not, let me say that again, you must not feel helpless in the sins that we have looked at today. We have power through the Holy Spirit working in our lives, but realize that through that work of Jesus Christ, He has indeed empowered each one of you through the Holy Spirit to repent of your sin of pride, envy, selfish ambition, and whatever else, and rejoice with others in the blessings that He has given them. You must remember that God is blessing you also with just the right amount of blessings. Not too much and not too, just the right amount. And just the right blessings as well that are needed in your life for you to draw ever closer to Him so that He might work out that sanctification in your life. And lastly, keep in mind that even when you are not getting just the life that you might like, that you are indeed getting just the life that you need. Let's pray. Our Father God, again, we thank You. You have given us so much. And again, top of the list, Christ. You have given us Christ, who is our Lord, He's our Savior, He's our King, and indeed, He is our example. Oh, Father, we pray that You would help us in dealing with all of our sins and coming to that place where we truly, daily repent and repent and repent and rejoice in Your goodness. Father, help us to deal with this sin of envy, especially at this time of year. No matter what people celebrate or don't, you will run into people who have said, "Look what I got." And sometimes it's a new Mercedes. Sometimes it's a house and you're thinking, "Oh, praise God." And in the back of your mind, we think, "Oh, I should have the same." Help us to not be envious people, but rejoicing people. Help us to see that we have all that we need and so, so much more. And help us to remember that all the temporal blessings of this world are nice, but we have the greater promises of things yet to come. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.